What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name's Eddie Torres, and with me, as always, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. How you doing, brother?
You know, they say I'm one of the nicest guys in comedy. This guest we have makes me look like an asshole.
Yeah,
I'm excited. He's like the nicest guy I've ever met, not just in comedy, but in life.
Well, we have a very special guest in the house, host of Getting Better with Ron Funches. You've seen him on Comedy Central, Chop 420, Undateable, 80 for Brady, Loot on Apple TV, HQ on Max. I mean, you got so many credits. Ron Funches, how are you, brother?
Doing great. Thank you so much. Good to see you again.
Good to see you again. Yeah, we got to enjoy some Super Card of Honor together. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a blast. It was really nice to watch the entire Briscoe clan get put in front of everyone and watch the kids almost get hit in the face with ladders. It was a beautiful time.
It was crazy, man. I remember I looked over at Maria Kanellis, and she just ran over to where we were, and she's like, get the kids, move the kids. I'm like, what's, oh God, somebody get the kids. And they got all the kids but the smallest one. They left the smallest child right in the middle where they dropped the ladder. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, that's how you know that Briscoe is not a gimmick. It's a real hillbilly lifestyle when they're like, basically each kid is responsible for whatever one kid lower than them. So they had the 4-year-old watching the 2-year-old, and they had the 2-year-old watching the baby, and that's where there was an issue.
Yeah. I can't imagine being 2 years old and seeing like your family just, you know, bleeding profusely and getting choked out by Samoa Joe right in front of you. Even though Joe's a family friend, I mean, kayfabe, but you know.
But they probably think it's real still. Like,
yeah, I mean, at that age, sure.
You know? Right?
2 years old?
I just think, that's got to be an interesting way to grow up. And in some ways, it's got to be a really fun life to just watch your dad or your uncle just get thrown to ladders and chairs, and then you go backstage and everybody's hugging each other. Probably, like, opens your mind up to, like, fakeness and, like, looking behind the curtain at a really early age. I think that'd probably be pretty fun.
Yeah, man. I mean, I how old were you when you were around wrestling?
I mean, I remember starting to watch wrestling when I was probably early 80s with my dad, and I asked him, I know I always bring up Kamala, but Kamala was the first wrestler I kind of started following. I'm like, Dad, how did they get him over here? Like, I really thought he was from Uganda, mm-hmm. like, because I thought it was real, and then I figured it out.
Oh, well. So I wanted to ask you, because we didn't get a chance to talk after the show, but like, what was your favorite match on that supercard?
My favorite match on the supercard of honor probably was just Vikingo and Commander.
Oh, man.
I like the opening match quite a bit. I don't always like that style, but I think they work well together. And it was just, they were flipping all over the place doing things I'd never seen before. And I love it, especially because I've been a wrestling fan for 30 years now. I still love it. Same thing like with comedy sometimes when you go like, oh, there's still like new things I've never seen before. And when you see like Vikingo do the like running the ropes into the springboard and then jumping off the middle ropes to go into an arm drag, and I'm like, fuck, I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, man. The Vikingo is, and Commander both are pretty ridiculous when it comes to running the ropes. I mean, they're giving them more AEW TV time.
Yeah, isn't Jay White?
Jay White's going up against Commander. I think Vikingo's got a match against Dralistico. So, I mean, AEW's picking up.
Yeah, they're the little company that could.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony Khan.
Ron, where are you in that spectrum of AEW or WWE?
Right now, I'm more WWE just because I've been enjoying the Bloodline storyline a lot. I've been enjoying Roman Reigns as a champion. I feel like it's fun. I feel like fan base is like fickle, as they say, where it's like you're like, oh, we always hotshot these titles, and we never see. And we've had this strongest title situation in a while, where Roman Reigns has been holding down. You have Gunther holding it down for almost a year, and I love that. I mean, the fact that they tricked me, and I thought that Cody was certainly gonna win with the title, and I left being like, oh, okay, not happening. That's the type of stuff I love when I don't know what's gonna happen, and I'm can't really tell where the story is going. As long as it makes somewhat type of sense, nothing's worth. And when you don't know the story is going, but just because it's fucking ridiculous and full of plot holes. But I love AEW as well. I have so many friends who are in the wrestling or who wrestle now that I just love just like comedy, my favorite thing is to watch just growth and watch someone go from being like, oh man, look at them. They got something. They're talented. You can see something. They don't have it all together. They maybe don't have the gear yet. They don't have their body together yet, but you see something in them. And then years later to watch them grow and change and then get these either, you know, working for a big company or get on a television show and you see them able to buy a house for themselves or like, I know Evil Uno and I know Danhausen, and just to see them, like, I think both at the, within the same of a week, they both were like, oh, I was able to take my wife on our honeymoon that I couldn't take her on 10 years ago.
Wow.
And that type of stuff I really love to watch.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I got into like independent wrestling is just because you get attached to certain names. Like Brody King, for example, I would watch him, you know, at the Legion, American Legion Hall, doing like bar wrestling or PWG, whatever it was, and then just seeing it escalate and escalate. So when they debut in AEW, it's like, oh shit, that's the dude that I've been following. So
yeah, bro, he's a great example of that. I love that dude. He's so down to earth and chill. And when I was training to be a wrestler for a while at Santino Brothers, he was one of the head trainers at time. So luckily, he started to travel more and do bigger things before I ever got to get in. Basically, like the first time I went there, and I still signed up, which is ridiculous, but the first time I went to check it out, it was basically watching them roll around for a bit, and then they all got into the corners and just let Brody King chop the shit out of them.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, that's what this class is?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you take a chop from Brody King? That was usually, they do that every class.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, I was there for your match at GCW. I know you and I talked about it at Supercard, but like for the show, you know, what's up with that? Do you want to wrestle some more? Like, what's going on?
It was really just the thing that I always wanted to do, you know, in my life. And I had a friend who had passed away suddenly the year before. And it just, you know, you have those things where you realize your mortality a little bit. Mm. And I had always... I don't have many interests. Like, I have deep love for very few things and a lot of things I don't give a fuck about. And so I always love comedy and I always love pro wrestling. And so when I was a kid, that was it. I was like, oh, I'm either going to be a comedian or I'm going to be a pro wrestler. And comedy was working out. And I was like, let me try it. Let me just get in there. I'm going to die one day. Also, I had just lost, you know, I was 370 pounds at one point and I lost a bunch of weight. And I was like, I don't even know what my body's capable of. I just want to get in there and see what I can do and try it. And I fucking loved it. Like, the training was difficult and fun. The actual match, feeling different because usually, you know, with stand up, I'm always trying to get the same reaction. I'm always trying to get somebody to laugh, you know. Mm. And it was nice to think about other things you can do and other ways to manipulate people's emotions and to get them to care about you and to fear for your safety. When Tony slapped me in the face and I go down and hear people go, oh, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. That's a different rush. You know, and so I really liked it, but it couldn't have gone better. Like, it had a packed house, Too Cold Scorpio was on the fucking card, and that's like, for me being a, you know, young black kid who grew up watching him, and like, I love that dude. He is a big inspiration to me. And after that, I didn't want to bother him. I never met him before. But after the match, he comes up to me and he's like, hey, man, I don't know who you are. They tell me you're some comedian or something, but I got to tell you, he's like, you're damn sure an entertainer. He's like, I know you're not a wrestler, but he's like, you're a good entertainer. You made me fucking get into it. And I was like, fuck, I got Too Cold Scorpio giving me props for my match. I did the fucking, my match was before fucking Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah.
You know, it's like nothing can go better. And then I'd be getting hit up from these other companies being like, you can come in the middle of Arkansas and do our fucking show for
the gymnasium.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll go back to working on TV shows and stuff. So I only see myself ever doing it again if it's bigger than what I did before. If it's like if I got to do something in the WWE and do a Royal Rumble situation. I know I couldn't be like Bad Bunny or Pat McAfee and doing backflips off the ropes and shit, but I could be like Drew Carey and do something fun and silly. I would love to figure out a way to get in the WWE Hall of Fame.
That'd be great. Yeah.
But you did take some bumps, though.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Because of the adrenaline, when did you feel the bumps? Like after the match?
After the match, yeah. But even still, it was like, it felt like I had just gone through a really rigorous workout. It didn't feel like, I wasn't like beat up. I was just more like
soreness,
sore as hell, and just really like took a nice Epsom salt bath the next day. And a lot of it is like, I worked with the right guy. Like Tony Deppen's a really professional wrestler and really good at technical wrestling. And he made sure that we did enough that I looked good, but that he didn't hurt me. So I don't know if I worked with somebody else, if it would have gone as well.
Was there any move or anything? Because, I mean, I've heard from a lot of trainees that, you know, running the ropes was the most shocking pain that they felt that they weren't expecting. Was there anything unexpected pain-wise, either during the training or in the match? That
I was just taking the first bump, really, hitting the mat, hitting the ground, and feeling your body seize up. And kind of, like, the ropes to me, I kind of liked the burn of it. It didn't really bother me. I liked it. But the hitting, especially it's fucking Santino Bros, man. If you really want to be a wrestler, go there. I didn't really want to be a wrestler. I wanted to fucking try some things out. But like the first few classes are like, you know, it's like a 3-hour class. The first hour and a half is just them fucking making you do squats and burpees and like rolls and running around and shit. Like I remember running so much and doing so much cardio that I fucking like just vomited. And then they're like, okay, here's a mop, here's a bucket, clean up the vomit, and when you're done, you know, come back to class. And it
was... Yeah, that's usually where I would call it quits at that point. Like, I just threw up, I'll be back tomorrow, guys.
Yeah, I wasn't used to throwing up and keeping going, but I mean, it taught me a lot about perseverance.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, I would have quit after the first chop and be like, I'm good. Like, do you guys need a manager?
Yeah. And a lot of, especially when they were like, because there was a class, so like the people who had already been doing it, they got to take bumps in the ring. Everybody else, they were like, you go on the floor on this wrestling mat and take bumps. And you're like, I'm like, fuck, that's thin as fuck. I'm not, that is going to hurt for sure. And it did.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that's, you see people taking bumps on the concrete outside. I just I don't know about all that. The mat is hard enough, and it has, you know, a little bit of cushion, a little bit of, you know, thickness to it.
Did you find like the students would look at you and go, "Oh, here's this famous comic trying to jump the line. Let's students rough with you?"
Yeah, did they lay in?
Not really students. There are a couple more teachers that it was a real mix, because either. And I think I work with that anyway. I'm a big fan of mutual respect. And I think why Brody and I, like, I still talk to him and stuff, because, like, he was like, you came in, you didn't act like you were better than anything. You didn't be like, hey, you just came in and were like a student. And he's like, but I knew who you were, you know? And then there was the other guy, Jake Atlas, who was there at the time. And he was just a real bitch and just was like, you don't belong, you know, not me personally, but like he was the guy who was weeding out people who didn't belong there, you know? And I was like, brother, I already told you I don't belong here. You don't got, I'm going to go at some point. Just let me visit for a minute.
Jake Atlas. I think I've seen him wrestle at didn't he get NXT?
He made it to NXT, and then it didn't work out because he tried to be openly gay, and they said they were cool with it for a while, and then they weren't cool with it.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was his thing in the indies. Like, he started picking up steam when he was in the indies, being like, you know, because of that, being openly gay about, you know, just promoting that, and then they bring him to NXT. It's like, I'm like, oh, cool, awesome. Another one of those situations. I'm like, yeah, I remember seeing him, and then... I don't know what happened.
Yeah. I felt bad for him, but at the same time, I was like, you were a jerk in class.
Oh, right. So
you deserve karma. But I said it to his face.
I would have gone on Twitter. Thank you, Atlas.
Oh, man. I wanted to ask you about like a recent thing. What are your thoughts on the whole CM Punk thing? Like, now there's rumors that he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited for that? Are you done?
Oh, I would love that. I love excitement. Again, I love excitement in wrestling. And everybody's all like, been like, oh, he was so unprofessional with that press conference and stuff. And I'm like, you sound like a little punk bitch. Like, this is supposed to be wrestling and fun and silliness. As long as he didn't get stabbed to death like fucking Brody, then really, what is there but hurt feelings and a little fight? Like, to have an old time in wrestling.
Somebody got
made me more excited, truly. is the smartest thing in the world. I think the dumbest fuck if you don't like figure out a way to turn that into money and turn that into people being excited, you know, CM Punk and FTR versus the Elite type of thing. If you don't do that because you don't get along, that's like that's the one thing. Sometimes pro wrestling really helps me navigate entertainment. And the fact that I'm like, oh, never forget how phony this is. Never forget that you're not really in charge about how your career goes, you know? Right. And then a big part for me is always that Vince McMahon, Triple H shit of what's best for business. Mm. So there's a lot of times that there's people I don't fucking fuck with that hard, you know? But I'm like, oh, is it best for business for me to fucking let that go and handle this, then I will.
Yeah.
And I always, like, that's always in my head, that triple, like, what we do, what's best for business. Like, whenever I make a decision, I always hear that shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I for the CM Punk thing, I'm not a fan, but I understand that that's a money match. Mm-hmm. And people are going to love it.
You're not a fan of CM Punk?
No.
Have you met him before?
No.
I have.
And you're a fan or not a fan?
Not a fan.
Okay.
Like, I get they have a lot of people coming up to them. I said, hey, I'm a big fan. You're one of the only reasons I watch.
Mm-hmm.
And I meant it at the time. And he looked at me and goes, don't say that. And I'm like, oh, okay. You're not one of the reasons I watch. Like, he was kind of a dick, to be honest with
you.
Yeah. Maybe he's a great guy.
No, he's a dick.
Oh, okay. I thought it was me, which some people
no,
have told
no,
me.
I've met him for years. I've known him, I mean, in passing for years, he's a dick. But I prefer someone who's honestly who they are.
Sure,
as opposed to someone who's a fake nice person. And he tells you who he is. And at the same time, he's very nice. And stands up for like what he believes in and the stuff that he talks about with women's rights when he's in wrestling in general and in these companies that are like at the top are super not like that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I can never, and I know a lot of personal or some of my friends that he's really done nice things for, and so I can never hate him, but I will also be like, yeah, is he a jerk? Yeah, he's for real. He's a fucking jerk.
I mean, I just don't want to see him against Kenny Omega because like they're the two figureheads of that backstage brawl, and like I don't think he could wrestle with Omega right now. Like, so it'd be, have to be a really short match, and so I don't know how they would turn that into a feud. Like, or I'm assuming for the London card, how they would turn that into a storyline.
Well, with a three-way match, like if it's him and FTR versus the Elite, then he can take breaks. You know what I mean? He can sit outside, let the FTR do a lot of the work. You know, come in, do a few spots, and go back out. You know.
Okay, you guys are really feeling that just because Jerry Lawler wrestles matches. You don't think that they could figure out a way to have a full match together?
But like, I want to see Omega, who is the, you know, the best wrestler in my opinion right now, going up against someone that can make him, you know, like a Will Ospreay or, you know, Vikingo.
Wow, we're really polar opposites. You got to wrap it up soon.
What's
from
all
that
good?
Sign. But you think Kenny Omega is the best wrestler working today?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, so you're an all work rate guy.
I mean, I know his style, which is very ballet-esque.
I'm not one of those guys. I'm not like that. I think he's a tremendous pro wrestler. I just feel like when I think of what's the best pro wrestler, it's all promo wrestling and like just believability. To me right now, MJF's the best wrestler. MJF or Roman Reigns for sure, because MJF, I always believe whatever he's saying. He's a real jerk. He talks a lot. He doesn't wrestle that often, so whenever he does, it feels special to me. And when he does wrestle, the matches always make sense to me and seem like a real competition, a real fight. So I think I like MJF a lot right now.
Oh, he's the best by far with promos. Like, there's no one who comes close to him. I would like to see an MJF Omega match. Like, I would love to see that. I mean, it's, I don't think I'm right or anyone else is wrong.
No, I just like the discussion. It's fun.
I mean, MJF's like reminds me of all my favorites, like Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And he's like the perfect combo. So he's 1A for me if you could pick like a second choice.
I love it.
All right. Well, one final question for you so we can let you go because I know you got a show coming up. Mount Rushmore.
Oh, my Mount Rushmore wrestlers. It always changes. Right now, it'll probably be Eddie Guerrero, Bret Hart, Ric Flair. How many people are on a Rat Mushroom? Four. I can do one more. Can I do a tag team as one?
Sure.
And then my favorite tag team of all time will probably have to be... Oh, no. That was until a couple weeks ago. I would have said the Steiner Brothers until a couple weeks ago.
Solid choice.
But
Rick made some unsavory comments.
Oh, really?
He turned it. So I'm going to go with Harlem Heat.
That's okay. Okay. All right. Well, Ron, thank you so much. Been wanting to get you on the show since we started. Yes. I was like, if we're going to do comedy and wrestling, we got to get Ron in here. But
I love it. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you very much, man.
Yeah, whenever you are available, if you want to come through.
Please.
Let the beautiful people know right here where they can find you, follow you, and what they should be looking for.
You've watched the Apple TV show I'm on. It's called Loot. It's got Maya Rudolph in it. That should be enough for you to watch it. So check that out. I'm on the HBO Max show Harley Quinn, where I do a voice of King Shark. So you can watch that. We got a new season coming out. And other than that, just ronfunches.com. I'm getting ready to go on summer tour, do a bunch of shows. So if you want to see me in your area, tell jokes a lot about pro wrestling and random things that I love, go to ronfunches.com or Instagram. Follow me there. Just Ron Funch.
Awesome, brother. Thank you so
much. Thank you very much, Ron.
Thanks
for having
me. We'll
be right back with the news
right after this.
And we're back. We have some news stories to go through. First of all, I want to say right before I got here, I watched John Hennigan, our buddy Johnny Comedy, beat the shit out of the Epic Mealtime guy on the Creator Clash 2, I think it was called.
No, I know nothing about that. Is that shoot boxing?
It's shoot, man.
So it's no gimmick. It's 100%.
100%. Johnny was smart enough to contact our buddy Josh Barnett to train him, and he was his corner man, actually, for the match. And, dude, he destroyed him. He punched him so hard he fell out of the ring into the commentator's table.
Was it like a celebrity boxing thing?
It's an influencer boxing thing.
Oh, God, I hope they all get beat up.
Well, Johnny did not pull any punches.
I want there to be a gauntlet match where it's Johnny Influencer should be his name. He stands in the middle of the ring, and one by one, they send TikTokers down to get knocked upside the fucking head.
Well, he called out KSI. Is that his name?
Yeah,
that loser from Prime Energy Drink.
Yeah, he
that's said, everywhere, by the way. Like, yeah. I'm not going to buy
it. I saw it.
I don't like the Paul brothers for their offstage antics. But, like, credit to those guys. Rockstar and Bang are, like, the big ones. They're everywhere.
Well, they're buying the space in the stores. So like they bought the window at GNC. So when I passed GNC today, I even took a picture of it. The whole front window is Prime Energy Drink. If you go to Walmart, the first aisle that's usually seasonal shit, it's all Prime Energy. They bought that space.
And where else was I? At the gas station at Sunset and San Vicente, which is pretty iconic in the Hollywood scheme.
That's where it belongs.
It's everywhere. Like, you don't even see Rockstar and Bang and Red Bull. So, they are marketing geniuses. I'll give them that.
Yeah, and you could also put it in your car in lieu of gas. So it's... If you go to the gas station and pick up some Prime.
I like trying energy drinks, so I might try it one day. But, and also just to kind of not give the Logan brothers too much, or the Logan Paul. And, a lot of that marketing, a lot of the window space and all that shit, that's all distribution. It's not really them. Like I'm sure they're throwing money around, but the reason they're getting all that space is whoever's distributing them. So whoever that is, good for them. But yeah, Johnny was like, I'm not going to call out Logan Paul or his brother because everybody else is calling him out. I'm going to call out KSI. So I'm going to actually watch that. I want to see Johnny destroy that guy too. Why not?
Well, the Paul brothers, especially Logan, because he's more the boxer, like, he's very smart because he picks these guys like older MMA fighters who are obviously good at wrestling and jiu-jitsu, and it's like, well, you can't do any of that against me. And he picks someone like a Ben Askren, who is a iconic wrestler who's not known as a striker at all.
Yeah.
And he kicks his ass, or an NBA player. Like, he is smart, or his manager is smart with who they put him up against.
Did he lose his last match? Like, I heard...
He did, and it was against the only semi-boxer he's ever faced.
Who was it?
Fury's brother, I think.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But now it's like when McGregor was King of the Hill, he could talk all the shit he wanted because he was winning. It'll be interesting to see now how they market Logan Paul that he lost to a pretty no-name guy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the wait, bubble.
Jake Paul?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jake Paul.
Oh, okay. Logan lost to Seth freaking Rollins.
I'm sorry. I'm getting the secondhand buzz in this room right now. I don't smoke weed. I never have. I'm not against it, but I'm definitely feeling a little loopy right now.
I'm with you. I don't smoke, and I am feeling it.
No, punch I really it. Am. Like, I'm looking at you right now, and you're kind of hot.
I mean, weed does wild things. I was sitting next to Ron's friend, and she was going off, and she offered me, and I was like, I'm good. I'm getting enough from right here.
Like, I'm buzzed right now.
Fucking amateurs. My God.
Played the dispensary in Van Nuys, and it was like they were smoking wax, whatever that is.
Oh, that's too much. I don't do that.
And the guy in the front row was drooling.
I don't know. I smoke weed every day, but I don't do the crackle or whatever. Right. I just grass. I'm like Willie Nelson. Just give me the dad grass. I'm good, man.
But I know the trolls are watching this. He keeps saying, Logan Paul, Logan's not a boxer, you fucking moron. I'm sorry.
Wait, didn't Logan box, though? He did, right? He had like a man. Sure, I don't know. Who cares? They suck. And speaking of, my number one story is actually Logan Paul re-signed with the WWE and photoshopped the fucking picture. And I know that he denied it, but God, man, I did Photoshop for 10 years as a graphic designer. That's photoshopped. He changed the color of the fucking drink, the prime drink. They deleted Stephanie McMahon from the picture, but it's the same fucking picture. You can even see, if you zoom in on Triple H's hand, you could see the fucking Photoshop. It's ridiculous. Come on. Why would you not just come out and say, yeah, I Photoshopped it?
Because it's the Paul brothers. They're all about the illusion.
But I thought it was hilarious that they used the same exact picture.
It is really funny. I'm looking at it right now.
I have not seen it. Can you pull it up? I know this is unprofessional. No, we're podcasting. But.
Yeah, it's worth it because it's so ridiculous. I don't understand. I mean, you have, why not just, I guess they couldn't take another picture. Why do you
I'm
need
to? I'm going to pull it up right here. And it is,
put it up on the screen. Thank you. Great.
It is a true work of trash.
True work of trash. But I mean, are you excited that Logan Paul is back in the like not back, but just re-signing, and he's going to keep going with this?
I am a fan of his wrestling, so because he puts in the work.
Yeah,
and like we've said a lot, if he applies himself, he could be star, but he could be a viable force for the next decade because of his age, and he's got a great body and work ethic.
Yeah, I appreciate that he's not being booked as like invincible. Like he's lost a couple times now. So
well, that's why I'll always say the Roman Reigns, the Roman Reigns match was smart, even though they tried to lead you to believe he might win it.
Yeah,
they were able to give him a loss.
Wait, why do you guys say this is Photoshop?
No, so that's the first picture when he first signed. This is the second picture. It's literally the same fucking picture. You could see the blue outline on Triple H's fingers from the blue jacket. You could see it underneath his fingernails. It's just so terrible. For the love of God.
Triple H is starting to turn into like a Bond villain. Like,
yeah. Actually, he looks like the villain in Iron Man. What was his name? The dude.
I only saw Iron Man 2.
Obadiah.
Yeah. It's so crazy, dude. Anyway, moving on. I mean, whatever. As long as they keep booking him like that where he loses and, you know, maybe he wins one or two against people who don't really matter, I'm okay with Logan Paul doing crazy spots here and there just to make viral moments. That's
fine.
I mean,
he is incredibly athletic. Yeah. That spot he did with, was it Ricochet or when they jumped off?
Oh, yeah, Ricochet at the Rumble.
That's pretty impressive.
That's a hard spot to do. I mean, they could have knocked each other out in midair.
And the timing of it, like especially on hit, you know, Ricochet, that's probably like the easiest spot in the world. But I'm sure he was, like, I'd love to break the fourth wall and hear Ricochet talk him through that spot. Like, hey, dude, this is what we do. This is when you jump. This is when I know we'll never hear that, but like just to see someone that experienced working with someone that inexperienced do a spot that was pretty memorable. I was impressed by Logan Paul.
You know, speaking of that, I just triggered a memory. When I was at Bloodsport, I got to sit in the locker room and watch Moxley go over his match with Alex Coughlin. And Mox is like it was cool watching it because he was so excited about it. He was like, "Oh yeah, man, then I'll grab it to the knee." And it was just really cool to see them work that out, man. And I know that kills the magic for a lot of people, but hey, AEW is doing that with that new All Access show. Have you guys watched this?
I mean, you know, I'm an AEW super mark. It's okay. I mean, I appreciate what they're trying to do. You do get to start to know some of them a little better. So, like Sammy Guevara, outside of wrestling fans, probably a lot of people don't know who he is. So yeah. I think it is giving someone like him a good platform to become a little more, not famous, but like
known. And, yeah. I just, you know, for me, I've been around it so long now that doesn't affect me, but I try to put myself in the shoes of just a wrestling fan tuning into that and watching the Daniel Bryan, Sammy Guevara match and like that like feud that they had and how it ended with the middle finger and everything. And then immediately cut to them hugging in the back and like, "Oh man, that was so awesome. Thank you." It's like, you're killing the business. I don't know. That's a little, for regular fans, that's pretty rough. Like, I wouldn't show that.
I think it's okay to show that now. I think there's got to be less than 2% of the people who actually believe that, you know, certain, like, Bryan Danielson, actually hates Kenny Omega. You know, he cut that one promo. I'm sure they hugged in the back after that promo. Like, "Hey, man, it's cool."
Yeah, yeah.
So I get what you're saying. It does.
We know that we're marks, but we also 100%. Are like, we get to, you know, we're blessed that we get to go backstage and do, you know, see it happen and see a little bit of it face to face. But I don't know, just for like a casual fan, that kind of kills it for me.
I don't know if there are casual fans anymore.
That's true. Maybe.
You know, but, you know, I'm a fan of it because I think the big knock on AEW is, hey, we don't know who a lot of these people are. Newer fans, so...
They've been improving on that. I forget who it was. They did a video package for them. It was one of the Japanese stars that came in. I don't remember who it was. But they're I guess either they're listening to us or they're listening to the Twitterverse, but... They finally started showing promo packages for people that are new to AEW TV, you know?
And they did, they do plug, like, you know, Sean Spears wrestled last night on Rampage. And shout out to Sean Spears. You know, I'm around a lot of bullshitters in this business. When we met Sean Spears a couple weeks ago at Hunkamania, he's like, "Hey, you're a big fan. I'll send you a T-shirt." In the history of people telling me, "Oh, I'll send you this, I'll send you a doll, I'll send you a T-shirt, I'll send you a patch," no one's ever done it. He literally, in 3 days' time, I got this T-shirt. But they did a internet promo on Dynamite. "Hey, listen to Sean Spears on AEW.com. He's coming back Friday." So they are good, are getting better at, you know, promoting it a little better or making you aware of guys coming or girls coming back, and it was a good match with Jungle Boy. So, thank you, Sean, for the T-shirt.
Well, all right. Then before we keep talking about AEW, because AEW is later in the list, more WWE news. The last Raw that happened was a little weird. It wasn't Vince McMahon is running it weird. It was just, it felt weird, and it was. And we found out later that there were actual travel issues. Like half the roster didn't make it to Raw, so they had to scramble, and that's how we ended up with Matt Riddle somehow involved in the Bloodline story with KO and Sammy. I mean, he had a match, I think, with The Miz booked, but The Miz didn't make it, so they just threw him out there, and now he's part of that story. It makes no sense.
I mean, when I was watching it, you know, I was like, it was a lot like the steel cage match at WrestleMania, where it didn't make sense watching it live, but then when you hear about Balor's injury, like, okay, I'm not going to be as critical. And I feel the same way about Raw, like not knowing what was going on. Like, this is kind of like all over the place. Like almost like AEW, like where they're just throwing like Riddle in with the Bloodline. Like, okay, I don't see this. You couldn't have brought Bray Wyatt in instead of Riddle. But now I'm a little more understanding, and you know what can you do? I mean, you know, the Midwest with the storms and whatnot,
yeah,
can really f up the whole travel system of the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, we sometimes that leads to great things. I forget which pay-per-view it was. I think maybe a SummerSlam or something where Finn Balor was supposed to go up against Bray Wyatt, but Bray got sick, so they just threw him up against AJ Styles, and we got a classic, the Demon versus AJ Styles out of it. So, you know, sometimes that works out. In this case, I don't know what the fuck Riddle's doing in this story, and I don't like it. Unless you're going to change Riddle's character completely, stop being that stoner bro dude and have him be that killer that you that we saw versus like Will Ospreay in the Indies, like I'm okay with that because he's a legitimate killer. He's an MMA killer, and we're getting this like, oh, dude, what's up, dude? Oh, my scooter. Like, I get it. There's a demographic for that, but he's I don't know. He's a real killer, and he could be a big star if they didn't make him seem so stupid all the time.
Yeah, I would definitely drop the Jeff Spicoli, you know, surfer bro gimmick. Like, he is a legit badass.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just saw that Ospreay match with him, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I had no idea that Riddle, like, was I mean, I knew he was a UFC guy, but, like, wow, I'd like to see this Riddle. Like, I'd be into this.
Yeah.
So
well, Riddle actually was the like he did the very first Bloodsport. It was Matt Riddle's Bloodsport before Josh took over. But then Riddle got signed, had to go away, and you know Josh took over that. But he did his time in the Indies with Walter and all these folks, and he's really good. I'm just bummed out that that's the character they gave him, and I'm also bummed out that now like it just feels so just quickly. I mean, it was because everybody the travel problems, but. Maybe it was like a one-off, but now he was here. He was there this week too with I think SmackDown, and it's just I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. next on the list, I wanted to send a shout out and a congratulations to our new friends Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez for winning the Women's Tag Championship. So, congrats, ladies.
Congrats.
Well deserved. They've worked hard. I know that Raquel has been paired with a bunch of different ladies throughout, you know, her time in the main roster. But I think this is a good pairing. They seem to be real friends in real life. They're always posting stuff together. So it's cool to see that. Moving on, Shinsuke Nakamura's back with a whole new robe. I don't know. Did you watch his comeback?
I did. You know, he's great. Like, you know, I'm a newer fan of his. So it was good to see him back. And
I need to send you, well, you have New Japan World, but you need to watch Nakamura versus Ibushi, Kenny Omega's Golden Lover from Wrestle Kingdom 9. That's one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to have to re-sign.
Oh, yeah? You let it lapse?
The Ospreay Omega at Wrestle Kingdom 17. I just figured there's not going to be a lot of matches I'm going to be into.
So, oh,
but
no.
But it is a good deal, $9 a month. I mean, it's...
If you ever need more wrestling in your life, Earl, you let me know. I'll let you know what matches to watch in New Japan World.
Well, I did originally sign up for it with Jericho and Omega like many months ago. Yeah. That's a great match. And,
that really did change the business. You know, Jericho, say what you will about him. When he went over to New Japan to face Kenny, that really put a lot of eyes in New Japan. Like, I'd been watching because I'm a nerd, but the general public started paying attention to New Japan.
Yeah, and he put Omega over. Like, because Omega in America, anyway, you know, wasn't super known.
Yeah.
Unless you were like an ultra mark. So that's why I love Jericho, among many other reasons. You know, he paid for Kamala's funeral. He recently paid for someone else's medical situation. Mm-hmm, and he does the music, too. Like, you know, he's a incredibly, for a guy who is as established as he is, he's an incredibly hard worker still.
Yeah, man. But yeah, you know, I'm happy to see Nakamura back on my screen. And I know this may seem weird. Nakamura is a legend already as it is, but he had like an extra glow to him post his match with the Great Muta. I feel like even with the new robe, like, I don't know, he just had a different, even his intro was more, like he usually had a rough time with his entrance, like timing his little drop with the ropes, with the music. He had it on point this time. I don't know. There was a different aura to him, and I'm excited. I hope I liked him and Rick Boogs. The whole intro with the guitar was cool for a while, But I want them to keep him dark and serious for a little bit. Just let him regain some of that, you know, strength that he had in the past.
I don't think he has it. Like, he's not superstar material.
He
needs a Paul Heyman. He's not good on the mic.
That's true. I'll give you that.
He can't do promos. I mean, there's no reason that everybody needed to celebrate LA Knight getting a match. He should have a match every single week. He should be on the mic every single week. That match with Xavier Woods stole the show.
Yeah.
I mean, Nakamura, they make this big thing about. I don't see it.
Because you haven't watched his career in New Japan.
I have. You know what? I've seen matches online of him overseas, and I still don't think that makes him a WWE superstar. He's never going to headline WrestleMania, ever.
Yeah.
Well, that's a big bar, though, to like hold a guy to.
I saw The Miz headline WrestleMania twice.
Yeah, but he also got knocked out by Snoop Dogg.
That is true. But that's my point is, the guy who gets knocked out by Snoop Dogg in today's WrestleMania was headlining it at some point. I don't think there's space for Nakamura to be headlining a WrestleMania.
Oh, I don't think he needs to headline, but at least be like in the Intercontinental picture, you know, at least be a bigger star than he has been in, you know, before his absence.
I'm excited about the rumors for that. Possibly Gunther and Brock.
Yeah, that would be exciting. That little face off they had at the Rumble was, you know, intense. And I'd like to see if Brock will actually put him over. I'm interested to see that.
I don't think he will.
He absolutely will take the title if it's on the line. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From what I understand, Lesnar isn't exactly a team player in terms of putting people over. I won't say how I know that.
But. I mean, I'm going to guess anybody you've spoken to that's ever been backstage with him.
If you've looked at some of my recent Instagram pictures, I'm not going to mention any names.
I mean, I think it's a good way to get the title off of him without getting credibility taken away.
Right, because it's Brock.
But Brock is a very, a beastly fighter. He throws people around, and Gunther's more of a technical guy, so I just don't know if that's going to even be a good match.
We'll see. You know, I'd like to see if Brock will let Gunther hit him with all those chops. I don't think he'll let him do that. I don't think he'll
give him diverticulitis again.
Whew. Yeah. Well,
Brock strikes me as a guy like New Jack. You know, remember that kid that New Jack almost killed in the mass transit incident?
Oh.
This kid was like, hey, this is what I want to do, New Jack. And Jack was like, okay, cool. And then they got to the ring, and he literally sliced open his head with a surgical scalp. Oh, you want a color? I'll give you color.
Yeah.
Brock strikes me as that. Like, oh, you want to get some chops in? Cool, no problem. I'm going to kick you in the balls after the third chop.
I mean, we've seen Brock do some shit like that. Like, there was a match with him and Braun Strowman where Strowman kind of hit him a little hard. And Brock just kneed him in the face. Like, you could hear him audibly say, slow down, and then, bah, and that knees him right in the face.
Well, that I could understand because, you know, I don't know if Strowman was saying, hey, I'm going to show I can hang with the UFC heavyweight champ. You know, or I get that one, but I don't think Strowman did that again.
You have to be careful with Brock because if the whole point of Brock is to put people over, but if he's constantly beat by people, even the younger guys, then that value is gone. So, like, he had to beat Omos because if he lost to Omos, there's nothing else that he can do to help the younger talent because it's just, well, everybody beats Brock now.
Yeah.
So they have to keep him strong. They had to have him go after Cody. He's going to lose to Cody, but he's going to beat the next person he goes up against, whether it's
Which
Gunther
will probably be Gunther. Yeah.
See, I think he should have lost to Omos. Because that would have put Omos over. Like,
but
now
Omos can't keep up. Who's going to fight him next? The guy, he's another one. He has nothing going for him other than his height.
Well, that's a lot, though, when you're 7'4", 410 pounds.
Yeah, I'm with Earl. I feel like Omos will always be an attraction because of the size.
I was bored of Big Show immediately. As soon as Big Show was done with, I could probably pick the feud out if I had a minute. But as his last, like, big feud, I was done after that.
I can tell you when I was done with Big Show is when Hulk Hogan pushed him off a 20-story building.
And he survived.
And two minutes later, he's walking to the ring. I'm like, I know it's fake, but let's have a little bit of believability. Like, you're going to be limping at least if you fell off a 20-story.
Was that WCW?
Of course it was WCW. Yeah. He fell off a building, for God's sake.
Oh, boy.
I do understand what you're saying. Like, you can't have him jobbed. He's now not a jobber.
Yeah, you can't put him up against everybody that you want to put over, because then it's not a big deal when they beat Brock anymore. You get to the point where it's like everyone's beating Brock. You didn't put this guy over. You put him up against someone who's past his prime. So he has to beat the Omos. I have no, like, he's on my list of people. If there are cuts coming, you get rid of Omos. You get rid of, after what I saw last night, Madcap Moss.
Madcap's got to go back. Got to go back to NXT.
He needs to be Riddick Moss. He needs to stop with that stupid laugh. He needs to get rid of Emma. Ugh. There's just a lot of things. They fucked him over badly.
It's very cringy.
I will say, if they do cut Omos, we could reunite the Twin Towers and have him and Satnam sing.
Oh, my God.
Imagine how quick those matches would be.
The Triple Towers. You get big Bill in there.
Well, what they need to do, really, with Omos is something that they've been teasing for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But it's something that they should just finally pull the trigger on, and it's put him with MVP and the Hurt Business. They teased MVP bringing back Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Make Omos their heater. Bring the Hurt Business back together. I think that would save Omos. He doesn't have to say shit. Just stand back, be real tall, let MVP do all the talking and the other two guys, and I think it would be a really good faction.
Because, I mean, like, we saw him at WrestleMania the second day. He got an energy about him. Like, at the minute he walked out, the whole arena was like, oh, my God. This guy is.
Yeah.
Like, so there's got to be... Like, I understand you don't want Lesnar jobbing to him, per se, but can you imagine the buzz around him if he had won at WrestleMania? And then you get Lesnar to kill him the next night or, you know, down the road, so it's like even Steven. But, you know, at some point, this is what sank WCW, is the older stars, and I don't think WWE is ever going to be overtaken by AEW, but what did sink WCW is the older stars would not put the younger people over. And Lesnar's not going to wrestle much longer. He doesn't even like doing it. And I don't know what Omos is doing, like, in terms of if he loves wrestling, but he's going to be there the next 10 years.
No, he won't. His legs will not let it. I mean, Big Show had a longevity, but Omos will not. He's already showing signs of wear.
Listen, is he the most nimble guy? Absolutely not. You know, am I saying he should be in, like, Ring of Honor? You know, with no. But, like, I think if you plot his matches out correctly, he could have a semi-long career.
Yeah, well, hopefully Brock doesn't squash Gunther. I don't mind if he wins in a very good match. Hopefully he doesn't just squash him in 10 seconds, you know. There was also something in the news recently with Brock about, like, apparently Shane McMahon tried to fight Brock backstage. There's a clip, if you look it up on YouTube, of Brock coming in after a match with the belt, the championship belt. He just throws it at Vince. Like, he just fucking throws it across the table. And apparently Shane got mad and wanted to go punch Brock. He's like, dude, what are you... Like, somebody stopped him. Like, no, you're going to die. Please, don't do that.
That would not...
Especially a heated Brock that just threw the belt at Vince, you know?
That would be a squash match of epic proportions.
All right, moving into some AEW news. The long rumored, you know, whether he will he or won't he with Brian Cage. Well, he re-signed with AEW and ROH, so he'll continue to be there for a few more years, which is fine, you know. I don't think, even though he's a prototypical WWE body guy, I think he AEW needs more people like him, like the big body guys like Hobbs and Wardlow, you know.
I mean, he definitely is. He's a mid-80s built wrestler. Like, he looks exactly like Sting and the Warrior when they were the Blade Runners. Like he's just 285, no body fat, pretty nimble for a guy his size. So, I mean, it's not... I was excited that, you know, because they haven't showcasing him the last probably 2 months a little better.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see... you know, they do have some quality big men in AEW.
Yeah.
But, yeah. you know, there's 3 hours of TV time. But a rumored...
we got that on the list. We'll talk about that.
So hopefully there's more television time coming where a guy like him, Big Bill, Saddam Singh, you know, we've never really seen him
have like a super heavyweights division,
or at least showcase those guys, because there is that freak show factor,
yeah,
of people just wanting to stare at someone 7'2" and jacked.
Yeah, I want to see Big Bill versus Saddam Singh.
I mean, that'd have to be a really carefully laid out match.
Yeah. We can talk about that now because it has to do with the next story I have. We talked about it a little bit with Ron Funches earlier, but CM Punk is rumored to come back. He has apparently, according to all of the dirt sheets and the Brian Alvarez's and the Meltzer's and everything, Punk has been reaching out to try and mend the fences. Jericho has very audibly on Twitter said no, he's not going to work with him. The rumors are now circulating that they're trying to do another show on a Saturday night. So that way they can have Punk and the Elite and Jericho separate. So thinking like brand split type, like SmackDown and Raw.
So dumb.
I don't think it's going to work.
And you're going to put Punk on the one night that people will not watch. First of all, you're competing with every pay-per-view now.
Yep.
And you're competing with the other, 30 hours of wrestling during the week?
So what if you were to do a new AEW show, what day of the week
would
you...
You're not doing another AEW show. You're giving an extra hour to Rampage, and you're putting Punk on that, and you're giving an extra hour to Dynamite, and that's the Jericho Elite show.
Okay.
Well, you know, since they film them on the same day, back to back, like I would just make Rampage 2 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, Rampage has to be 2 hours because right now it's a scrub show. It's like...
It's pretty rough.
You have no time to do anything. 2 hours, you're competing with SmackDown. 3 hours, you're competing with Raw. Like, step it up. Don't put on another show because you know what? It's not going to work. First of all, you're not going to get the Punk hype that you did before, so people will tune in the first week and be bored of him. And it's just going to look bad when the ratings come in. Nothing gets good ratings. That's the second graveyard slot after a Friday night show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Friday nights is brutal.
It's going to be rough. We'll see how it plays out. We also got the return of Jeff Hardy, the enigmatic one, Brother Nero, and Matt Hardy. They were having like a whole thing with the firm, which, boy, that faction needs to go away. I like everyone in that faction. I just don't like the faction. It just doesn't. It's not clicking for me. I like Ethan Page. I like Big Bill. I like Stokely. They're all great. But apparently we're going to get a good old-fashioned Hardy compound firm deletion. So hopefully that means they'll all get buried and thrown into the lake of reincarnation at the Hardy compound. And maybe we'll see the mower of lawns or the...
God. So is this the third one? Because they did one with WWE too, right?
Yeah, they did the final deletion, I think, with Bray Wyatt.
And, oh, God.
I mean, I loved the original one. I thought it was great.
The original one was a joke.
Yeah, that's the point, though. I think you were taking it maybe too seriously, but
I wasn't taking it seriously. I've grown to hate all the pre-tapes. Like, I even hated The Undertaker's last match with AJ Styles.
Yeah, that was a little rough.
I was like, what are we doing?
That was
like,
a little
put
rough.
Put him in the fucking ring. I know it's the pandemic. Save this for another day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the very first deletion with all the characters were, you know, over the top, crazy, cheesy, but that was the point. You know, you had internet clips of Matt Hardy giving kids green beans for Halloween when they would go to his house. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Was that with AEW or was that with Impact?
That was Impact. Yeah, that was Impact.
This is going to be his third company he's trying to shit with.
We'll see how it goes in AEW with the firm deletion. Hopefully it just means that they're destroying the firm and then we can get like maybe a singles run for Big Bill or Ethan or whatever.
Because Big Bill is pretty nimble. Like, yeah. You know, he does some high kicks that are like, wow, that's pretty impressive. So he's definitely, and he's a good-looking guy, great body.
He needs to stop. Bill, please stop wrestling with lollipops in your mouth. You're going to lose a tooth. or something. Like, it just looked dangerous. He was taking bumps with a fucking lollipop in his mouth.
See, I like that. Here's this gigantic guy with a lollipop in his mouth. Like, that's pretty funny.
I mean, it's funny if he's, you know, during a promo or maybe like, or just around the ring, but like, I'm scared of like the freaking stick just going down his throat and him choking during a match, taking a bump with a fucking lollipop. I don't know.
I will say I was disappointed when Jeff came in for the save on the beatdown that he didn't stop halfway through the ramp and do his dance. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen, when he came in and his brother's just getting slaughtered, his last comeback. It's just like, wait a minute. Well, I better get in there.
I'm glad he didn't, but part of me was hoping he would. But yeah, it was good to see him. He was in great shape. Has new tattoos. He looks happy. So I'm glad that he's gotten over all his things. He had eye surgery or something like that. Like, I'm glad he's back. Next up, well, we already talked about the brand split, and then the last thing I have actually, Jay White and Juice Robinson are starting a new Bullet Club in AEW. They're calling it Bullet Club Gold. I'm excited for this. I think it'll be great for AEW to have their own Bullet Club faction. Meanwhile, in New Japan, you had David Finlay. He just made Clark Connors, who's a Josh Barnett student, a new member of the Bullet Club in Japan, which is cool because he said, we don't want any, what was it? He said something about no more T-shirt models. We're just going to get pure savages now in Bullet Club, which is what I liked about Bullet Club. They were savages. They would just show up and take over and beat the shit out of everyone and pure heels. So hopefully we'll get a nice resurgence of the evil Bullet Club in Japan, and then we'll get this nice, cool Jay White, Juice Robinson, AEW, Bullet Club Gold.
I mean, I do think the Bullet Club is starting to remind me of the NWO when, like, you know, it's getting a little watered down just because there's so many different versions all over the place. But I think if anyone could get me back into being a Bullet Club guy, it's Jay White. He's just so good on the mic, and his wrestling speaks for itself, and he's got the look. I mean, he looks like a Mortal Kombat character. Like, he's so sculpted, he looks fake.
Yeah, man.
And so he hits every check mark you want. And I like Juice Robinson. I'm new to being a fan of his. But I'm hoping down the road maybe there's an Omega and the Elite, you know, maybe have a fight for the Bullet Club name or something down the road. So it's exciting to see both Robinson and White in AEW.
Yeah, I'm excited for Juice, too. I'm admittedly not really a fan of his in the past. But ever since he became rock hard Juice Robinson in the Bullet Club, I've actually started to like more of what he's doing. I always would make fun of him because in New Japan he had a match where he was wearing white pants and he shat himself.
It happens.
It happens, you know. I wasn't really ever a fan, but I like what he's doing now. Jay White is a star. I mean, even just when you're scrolling on Instagram, I saw the graphic for his match with Dralistico, I think. No, with Commander, sorry. And he just looks like a fucking superstar when you see that graphic.
He just has it.
Yeah, he has the thing.
And I don't know what it is, but he's got it. And
it's the it factor, man.
So, but before I forget, I must say I did mark out. I am a mark sometimes, but when Sting came out
and
had a little segment with MJF, it was like, I think, passing the torch to that generation. Like, he put Darby over, said Showtime's almost over, and MJF had some great facial expressions, like, when he said Showtime's almost over, he's like, yeah, it is. That's
really good.
It was funny. In a good way to put the younger generation over. You know, we talked about earlier Lesnar not putting people over. Like, that was Sting. And obviously MJF is over, and Darby is to a degree. But that was Sting passing the torch to at least Darby. But this is the next Showtime.
How do you feel about that promo? Because, I mean, him bringing up Cody.
Like, I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, but, man, I mean, I love it. It hit, but it's also you're putting over the other company a little bit. I don't know.
But I don't think it cost AEW any viewers. I think who watches AEW is who watches it, and WWE too. I don't think you're gonna. I can understand if it's like back in the day with WCW and WWE when it was the wars. I don't think we're quite at the war level yet. So I personally like when they mention the other company or, you know, especially Cody. And you're right. I mean, he's just hot off a great WrestleMania, you know, the headlining match at night too. But I loved it because it was Sting. You know, Cody idolized Sting.
Yeah.
Sting is why Cody wanted to wrestle. It, you know, outside of his dad, obviously. But that they had matches, you know, so I liked it. And the crowd popped when he said Cody.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And yeah. I popped. Believe me, I was in my underwear watching. I like shot a load that flew to Missouri.
Oh, my God. Would you be excited if Sting, before he retired, brought back Surfer Sting?
I don't think it's possible with this current follicle situation. Like, AEW does do something better than WWE in this regard. Sting's hair looks good. I don't, you know, because a lot of people have been asking me, because they know I'm a Sting mark, what do you want to see his last match? How do you want to see him go out? Maybe MJF and, you know.
Yeah, who retires Sting for you?
Well, you got to assume he's going to win.
No, you got to go out on your shield, brother.
You can't have him lose his last match.
Everybody loses their last match. You go out looking at the lights.
I think, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, normally I would say Flair. That would pop. Like, just bring him in for a quick match.
They just retire each other.
They both retire. Flair's never retiring. You got five divorces and alimony and whatever he's got. You're going to wrestle till you're... Like Jay Lethal told me before their match, Rick just told me he's not afraid to die, brother. And I was like, you could see he was really scared.
Oh my God, I might kill Ric Flair tonight.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe London, he fights Great Muta. It's not going to be high on the card, but it, you know, it's a, you got to bring in someone pretty iconic, you know, so it's Sting versus, you know.
Well, I mean, traditionally, it's usually a younger talent. Like that retires, like it's the passing, that's the real passing of the torch, you know, which is one of the reasons, I think we talked to Dolph about it. He was upset that he wanted to retire Kurt Angle and it ended up giving it to Baron. So usually it's a newer guy. So if there were to be a newer talent, I mean, would it be Darby?
You know, if Darby turned on Sting, I just sense that's going to happen at some point. I mean, obviously I would love to see MJF and Sting just, and it would be a very short match and you know, that's one of the things I did love about Triple H and Sting, even though I don't like the outcome of the match. As you know, like, there were two dudes who moved at the same speed, so it looked like a fast match. So there's two schools of thought. You put him in there against Darby. Darby takes all the bumps, and then he beats Sting at the end, or you put him in there with an older guy where they kind of look. Now, there's not many guys in Sting's age range. Literally, it's Flair and... I don't know, maybe Arn Anderson can come back.
Oh, God.
Just kidding.
Oh, my God.
So it's, you know, I just want to see him go out in a respectful way. If he's going to lose, great. Let him get in some offense and, you know, because he is, you know, a top 10 wrestler in terms of name recognition of all time, in my opinion. So as long as he goes out in a nice way, I don't really care who the final opponent is.
Maybe the zip line just takes him away. And that was like, that's all he said. Instead of dropping him down, he just goes up and disappears.
Dude, that'd be pretty cool. Now, I'm assuming Sting at 64 is like, I'm not getting on a fucking zip line. But think about that. That would be...
That'd be right. All right, bro. Peace. Just leaves.
You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they bring in Hogan for one job. But I don't... You talk about Lesnar not jobbing. Hogan's not going to job to Sting. So I don't know.
These 17-inch pythons.
Hey, brother.
They're not 24 anymore, but...
I've got two hip replacements, three knee surgeries, a gallbladder that's the size of Omos.
Oh, my God.
Brother.
I don't know. Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, who would you? I mean, I know you or John aren't like gigantic Sting guys, but who would you pick?
I'm a traditionalist, and I like he loses. You know, you go out on your back. That's what I've heard from every legend that I've ever met. You go out on your back, and you put over the new guy. And I think it has to be Darby. You know, I think that's what I would like to see. Darby turns on him, or maybe even Sting turns on him. Sting goes heel for his final run.
I don't think you can have Sting turn heel.
Personally, I'd like it to be Triple H.
Oh, boy.
He retires Sting.
Dude, imagine
Seth Rollins.
If WWE and AEW just...
Seth Rollins almost retired Sting
that was
by force.
Oh, my God.
That, I mean, I, That would be just for a one time, like Triple H calls Tony Khan's, okay, we're going to do an angle with Sting, but we want something at next year's WrestleMania. That's never going to happen, but like that would be pretty cool.
It would be, for me, if they were to make that phone call, I would like Undertaker. That match we never got. 100%. We never got that match.
Two guys who probably move at the same speed.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, you know they respect each other. That'd be pretty cool. But, you know, I mean, at 64, the clock's ticking, guys. He's 1 year away from Social Security, man.
Yeah, I think he definitely retires at Wembley Stadium. That's the way to go out.
Yeah. You know, have the explosions and all that shit. You know, Muda's probably the guy just because they do have history. And, you know, I do think for that London card, you're going to have to stack it with international, you know, stars, because as crazy as this seems, and it's, I'm very interested to see how it plays. I don't know if MJF is worldwide right now. You know, in America, he's definitely their top.
I don't think he's going to be a huge draw in the Middle East if they do Saudi Arabia one day. I don't think he's going to be a very big draw.
You mean the guy who did a bar mitzvah on television?
Yeah, I don't think the bar mitzvah kid is going to be a huge draw in Saudi Arabia.
Actually, he might be. Yeah. He might not come back home, but...
one thing, actually, I forgot. I didn't put it on the notes, and that just popped in my head right now because we're talking about big deals in at that stadium. Drew McIntyre is apparently very unhappy, and I don't blame him. You know, he's kind of just not doing anything right now. And his contract is almost up. So would a debuting Drew McIntyre in AEW be a big deal at Wembley Stadium for you, you think?
It would be exciting. I mean, they kind of jobbed him out for a while, although his WrestleMania match, you know, the three-way was very good. Yeah, that would be nice. I mean, there's just very few surprises left in the business either way. You know, everyone's pretty much locked up. I mean, outside of MJF, you know, 2024, which I think is a work. I think he's staying in AEW. But outside of that, there's really very few of any, oh, my God, they're going. So, you know, yeah, that would be good. I mean, they're going to have to pull out some surprises for that stuff. And I did like how they showcased United Empire last night.
Oh, yeah.
Very good match.
So. I like that they defended their belts, the IWGP and, tag belts.
You know, Ospreay is, you know, he's got to be coming in pretty soon at some point.
Well, he's got 1 year left in New Japan. So I think after Forbidden Door, a couple more matches, goodbye matches in New Japan, and we get an Ospreay in AEW for sure.
I mean, that, you know, you think in the future in AEW looks pretty good if these guys, you know, if Ospreay comes in, then you got, you know, him, White, Omega, you know, Darby's a rising star, MJF, obviously. I mean, they've got some talent, and hopefully they have some writers helping Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Well, WWE has an AEW problem, which is they now have too much talent because they keep moving people up from NXT and not using them properly, and then they just become another part of the collection there, like Moss and Baron Corbin, who's been on the main roster for a long time, and he's not getting the spots he deserves. They brought up LA Knight. He should be getting spots. There are a lot of people getting time that just shouldn't be. So you have guys like Boogs sitting in the back. You don't know when you're going to see Boogs. You'll see Elias get squashed every now and then. Like, there are going to be big cuts coming, and I will not be surprised by most of the people that get let go. The writing's on the wall. And AEW's got an AEW problem too, and I don't think a third two-hour show is going to help. They need to build on the shows that already exist.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Elias, you know, I'd mark out if he, you know, lights go down in AEW, pops out, and he's got you know, that first song would be so amazing, like ripping WWE.
I would want Ezekiel to show up.
I mean,
yeah, but AEW with the guitar, that would be
I mean, that'd be pretty, like, that. Just that first song, and then they'd probably bury him, but, like, you know.
I mean, they haven't used Miro. They finally turned Miro into someone you could respect as a competitor. Like, they made him, like, the Redeemer, and I thought that was a great character. Nothing. The biggest flop on both ends is what's Flair's husband.
Andrade.
How both companies managed to fuck this guy up?
Well, he's injured right now. I think he's almost done recovering from a surgery he had. So,
but when he wasn't injured, they weren't doing shit with him.
Yeah, we had that match with Cody where it's probably the reason Cody left was when the wife set the table.
Oh my god!
Like, his back is on fire. Like, so that's why, like, you AEW idiots. You know, who said Cody didn't really do that much for the company. Like, he put his fucking back on fire just to get a good match.
Well, Kane put his arm on fire. Come on.
Well, dude, I don't get those people. Cody spent his entire TNT championship run putting over new talent. Like, every week he'd show up, some new guy from the indies was there to fucking face him. And he brought in Eddie Kingston. You know, like, yeah. He did a lot for AEW and, you know, the whole, he couldn't get himself over in AEW. I blame the fans because Cody was doing the work. But
yeah. I mean, I think he was like, all right, you guys don't appreciate me literally setting my body on fire to get like a good rating for Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Fuck it. I'll just go to WWE.
Yeah, watch this. Watch me headline fucking WrestleMania.
Didn't he also ban himself from like one of the top titles?
Yeah, he said he would not be competing for the AEW heavyweight title.
That's fucking retarded. Like, are you kidding me? So right off the bat, you're mid-carding yourself.
Well, that should show. Like, he wasn't in the business for himself. Like, that's why I respected that, because I'm like, good. We don't need Cody to be the champion.
Yeah, but the fans aren't going to invest in that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
There's respect, and I'm sure that's why WWE welcomed him back with open arms. Like, he's a company guy. His dad spent all those years there. But from the start, you set yourself up for failure. You put yourself in the mid-card from the beginning. The only place to go is down from there.
Yeah. Well, that ought to do it for this week. Please follow us on Instagram at Comedy Store Wrestling. Follow us on Twitter at Stores War. You can follow me at RRBG Podcast. I actually have a date, how comedians give their dates. April 26th, I will be at Gorilla Mall in Alhambra, California with Josh Barnett. We're going to be selling the beer, Black Blood of the Earth. Previously only available at Bloodsport, will be available at Gorilla Mall. I'll be there with him. We're doing a live podcast and meet and greet and all that good stuff. It's going to be fun. We're going to have surprises, surprise guests and other things, giveaways. So come check us out if you're in California. Have a burger, have a beer, and come hang out with me and Josh. Earl, where can they find you?
At Earl Skakel. And, I'm going to XPW next weekend. It's a double ring California 2. I can't imagine what's going to go on next weekend in Pomona at the Derby.
What day of the week is that?
It's probably a Saturday, I'm assuming.
I might come out with you. I've never been to an XPW. I think it's time.
Everyone should go once. I even think I'll drive.
Only go if that clown is on the card.
Well, Dirty Ron?
He is back in the good graces. You know, he had some...
Charges were dropped.
Situations that, you know... And yes, I was the guy who got him on this podcast. So, everyone should be heard. they're basically doing war games for XPW. So I'm really, blown away at how they're going to do that, because the last show I went to, I took Steve and Garza here. When we were walking out, they asked me and Garza if we wanted to help break down the ring. I'm like, we're bands. Yeah. We don't know what we're doing.
You're going to pay us minimum wage? We're good.
So, XPW, if you're around California, it's in Pomona. They're not allowed in Los Angeles for some permit restrictions.
Come out. Break the ring down when they're done with the show.
Yeah, you get a nice T-shirt, and you get a free XPW T-shirt if you help break down the ring. And put the barbed wire on the baseball bats.
Amazing. Well, please, did you plug your socials?
I did. Let me plug prowrestlingtees.com. Oh, yeah. And go on Sean Spears' section and buy some T-shirts. I bought a giant killer shirt, Sean Spears, and he was nice enough to send this to me on the house.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sean Spears. I mean, it's nice to meet these guys and girls. And they're actually nice, but it also blows my visual of them being a heel now. Like, I can't imagine Sean Spears as a heel because he's so fucking nice.
Yeah.
So that's the only bummer. I don't know about you guys, when I meet these guys and girls, and the heels are the nicest ones.
Yeah. I mean, it's I've grown past that at this point where I've been around it for so long now that it doesn't really, I don't think about it anymore, but I do get it. I get why that would kill the magic a little bit for you, you know?
Like I watched Bill, he was in a Rampage last night. And he was, you know, being Bill. He's being the bad heel and cheap-shotting guys. I'm like, I took this guy to an open mic in my car.
Yeah, I always have to remind myself at live shows when I see them to, like, not clap and cheer. I have to be like, oh, right, yeah, they're heels. Boo! You have to, like, you know, play along. Because otherwise people are going to look at me weird. Like, why are you cheering the fucking heel, dude?
Like, John got Bill a spot on Potluck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I took him to Third Wheel, which is like... Because you know he did
Third
well.
Wheels where I would go do an open
he
mic.
Did great,
he did well at Hunkamania, and then he was so excited. He's like, Earl, can you get me another spot? I'm like, bro, I'm gonna take you to a place where you're gonna find out if you really like comedy.
I haven't heard from him since. I thought he was gonna be here to do the potluck again WrestleMania week.
Well, I had my buddy hook him up. I think with a there's a club in Tampa called Side Splitters. Which
oh,
is,
nice.
I'm not sure how it went, but. You know, it's just hard. You know, I took him to CVS to get gummy bears after, like, Third Wheel. And by the way, he killed a Third Wheel. Like, no one, maybe two people, you know, he's an imposing guy. So two fans were there, but he did very well. And then I took him and his wife-to-be, Lexi, to CVS to get, like, gummy bears. So how can I see this guy as a heel when he's eating gummy bears?
Maybe you're a heel, Earl.
I'd be the best. The Gunn Brothers...
No, we're not going back.
The no. Baby face Earl.
No, the Gunn Brothers have approached me, specifically Austin, about, hey, you'd be a great heel manager. I love the Comedy Store. I love 100% of the stand-up comics who are here. I love them. Comedy's awesome. I hope every comic runs the light before me tonight. I hope they all do stolen jokes.
That's big of you, Earl.
I love stand-up comedy. I love roast battle. It's got me a lot of things. Got me the cartoon. Got me I'm Dying up here. Got me to meet John Mayer. I mean, how fucking cool is John Mayer?
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Yep.
I love John Mayer.
Oh man, all right guys, please also follow John at Comedy Store Studios
and yeah. Shout out to all the news outlets that are covering our podcast because
yes.
We had a lot of stories the last few weeks and I just like Earl and Eddie work their asses off to get guys in here. We get to have these conversations with them. We try to get new things out of them that they haven't said on previous podcasts, and it's nice to see the stories just make some waves and get some attention.
You should send me some of those links. I haven't seen them.
But a shout out to you guys. You know, I'm just the humor guy. I get to come in. I don't have to do anything technical. It's the complete opposite of the Inappropriate Earl podcast, where I'm a one-man army, and I'm, like, recording things with wires not plugged in. And you know, my podcast is a wreck. But these guys, Eddie's the brains. John is the technical brains. And we're all fans. But I could not do this alone. So I thank you guys for, you know, making this all possible. This is the little podcast that could.
Yeah, we really appreciate, you know, we got a lot of new followers during WrestleMania week. Our numbers were ridiculous. The engagements were ridiculous. So I appreciate all the fans that are watching and listening. We'll see you next week with more news. And who knows if we have a guest, maybe someone special. See you next week.